Easter celebration. He's alive. Amen? He's alive. What do you mean that was 2 weeks ago? Oh, guess what? He's still alive today. Church, I am very excited that he is alive. Amen? I love that. Man, do you believe? Do you believe he is alive? Man, or are you that guy in the crowd when Jesus was coming through and he said, hey, I've got this kid that's got some problems here, and he throws himself in the fire and sometimes in the water. Man, he convulses on the ground. And Jesus told the man, anything can happen. The guy said, but you can do anything, Lord. Have compassion on us and help us. And he begged Jesus that. That's out of Mark chapter 9. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man cried out and said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Man, that's where so many Christians are today. Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. People are in a tough way. They're struggling. They're down. They feel like they have no hope. And I thought, how sad that Christians think they have no hope. Even believers struggle with unbelief, doubt, and hopelessness. But I'm here to tell you that he is alive. And because he is alive, that is the difference in our faith, that he is a resurrected body. He is a resurrected king, and he is alive today. Man, let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, man, I give you glory today. Lord, I ask you to help us in times that we struggle with our unbelief and doubt, when and where we struggle to trust wholly in you, when and where we stand on our faith in one moment and moments later, Lord, we buckle under the pressure of life. Help us to rise above through your strength and through your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew! This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Look at your neighbor and say, rejoice. Rejoice. Yeah, say it like that person did. Say it again. Rejoice. I love it. You don't even need to know what your neighbor is going through to be able to tell them rejoice. Why rejoice? Because he is alive. He has given us hope. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He has given us hope. He has given us power over things that nothing else could give us power over. Man, can you tell I'm excited? Cindy said, do you need this water? I said, give me a drink of water. Do you need this water? I said, no, I might though. When I get excited, my throat gets a little scratchy here. But I thought, no, we'll press on. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And my message today is this. Is he alive in you? We proclaim he's alive, but is he alive in you today? I'm not talking about do you believe, although that is important. I'm talking about is he alive in you? So 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I get moving sometimes pretty quick and I miss these little notes that have asterisks next to it. I got to make sure I do all that. Okay. I've just skated right past those important notes before. But man, we're getting to the important notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 6. And it says this, letter from Paul. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come, I will not spare. In other words, he's not going to hold back when he shows up. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Now pay attention to these next two verses, 5 and 6. Examine yourselves. Let's stop right there. Church, we have to examine ourselves. We have to take stock and say, where are we? Where do I stand before God? Not where do you stand at work. I stand at the front of the line. I stand here. I'm third in the chain. Not that. Where do you stand in school? No, I'm an A-plus student. No. Where do you stand with your family? I'm the head of the household. I'm the man. I'm the wife. I'm the one that really makes things work around the house. I'm the kids. I'm the parents. No, where do you stand with God? Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Wait, what? Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. He is in you. I go on for hours about this. We are a new creation. We don't have to live with the old self. We're a new creation. He is alive in you. I love that. Christ was crucified, yet he lives. It says there, I'm sorry, verse 4. Let me go back there. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives. That was the Easter message. Why do you look among the dead for the living? He's alive. If you search, we're looking for our Savior here. He's not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is alive. But then it asks the questions. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Not might be, but he is. He is in you. And I pray that we're not masking him, putting a cloak around him, hiding him, burying him deep down inside of us. Paul just asked him, do you not know this? Romans chapter 8. Turn back a handful of pages to Romans chapter 8. And Romans 8 tells us, put this to the test. And again, there is so much scripture that surrounds this. So as I give you these scriptures, please write them down. Take note of those. Go back and say, what is before this and after this? I want to give you the highlights to find out if he's alive in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 through 11. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, I was going to start in verse 9, but I thought, well, let me just throw that in there. Okay, verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are living in the flesh and living for yourselves, you cannot please God. You're wearing yourself out trying to do it. He says you've got to get rid of the flesh side. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Okay, we can't please God when we're living in the flesh. Well, I'm just trying to please the world. Man, if you're a world pleaser, you're never going to make it when you stand before him and try to say, yes, I believe in you, but help my unbelief. Help me when I lived for myself. Help me when I did my will versus your will. Help me, Lord, when it was all about me. But that goes back to, we've got to examine ourselves. Church, that's tough to do. That is a hard thing to do, to stand in front of that mirror. God, I stand before you here on earth so that I can examine myself. God, I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to follow your word. I want to be obedient. I want to obey the scriptures, the commandments. Because we're going to stand before him eventually. But if we can stand before Him here and have an honest talk with Him, say, where do I stand, Lord? Am I living in the flesh? Am I living in the flesh? Verse 9 says, if the Spirit of God is in you. So He talks about the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And then in verse 10, it says, if Christ is in you. So He's talking about the Spirit, but also talking about Christ. Is He in you? Is He alive in you? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't silence the Spirit. Don't disobey the Spirit. Don't ignore the Spirit. But I love it. It says in verse 10, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Uh-oh. We're sinners. But it says, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And they were struggling to grasp that. And they were struggling with their sin. And then thinking, well, if I'm sinning, then Christ cannot be in me. He's in you. But we still have sin in our lives. But we can minimize that. Our goal is to be Christ-like in everything we do and everything we say. But it doesn't mean if we're not Christ-like 100%, we might as well not even try. It doesn't say that. It says His Spirit dwells in us, and He also dwells in us. But because we have sin, we're dead. But He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in us. And I love that. We're going to a couple other scriptures to tie this all together, so bear with me. Galatians chapter 2. Now we've got to go back just past where we were in 2 Corinthians. Just past Corinthians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And many of us have heard this before, but I want you to pay attention to what it says in reference to, is He alive in you? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It does say in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. But it says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. We have given up our will. That is not the same as having no willpower. I've given up my will for God's will in my life. It's not just acknowledging He's alive. I believe He's alive. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Man, they were waving palm branches. Reeds. They were throwing down cloaks on the path as Jesus went down. And a week later, less than a week later, they're hollering out, crucify Him. They believed in one moment. And later in the week, as the pressure came, crucify Him. Crucify Him. Give us Barabbas. Give us the murderer. Set him free. And nail this guy on the cross. And then 3 days later, imagine their surprise. The tomb was empty because He's alive. Now this goes back to saying it can't just be acknowledging that he's alive. It's allowing him to abide in us. It's giving him space in our life. It's giving him space in our life. And us allowing his will to take priority over our will and our wants and our desires. I thought, you know, it's great to acknowledge that he's alive. But if he's not alive in us, we struggle. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 through 16. 1 John chapter 4. Again, some of these things are very familiar verses to us. But as we tie them together, it helps us understand that it's not just he's alive. Yeah, I believe he's alive. He's out there doing works, wonders and works and all these things. Yeah, he just isn't doing them in my life. No. It's saying he's alive in me. Somebody asked me not too long ago. Well, I won't go into all that. But it came down to where I said, no, I don't feel that way because I have Jesus Christ in me, and that gives me hope. You know, did you ever feel hopeless? You know, those type of questions. I said, no. Do you have hope in you? Is Christ alive in you that you have hope because of that? And because of that, you can give others hope. Somebody said, how do you keep from just getting mad at people and telling them off? I said, well, I believe that blessed is the peacemaker. I said, it doesn't mean roll over and whatever, but we've got to try and find common ground. It says, be peaceable when we have the opportunity to. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Let's go through that one more time. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now, initially, I struggled with this a little bit. And I said, okay, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God is in him. And I thought, okay, is that just for that moment? And then as I did some different studies, even down below in my study thing here and in the study Bible, it's talking about the salvation aspect. We have salvation. But I'm talking about, not is he alive in us, do we have salvation? I'm talking about, we have that now. Is he living in us? Again, do we allow him space in our life? Do we allow him to come in and take over where we say, I want to do this, or I don't want to do this, and I want to do this? Do we give him space in our life? So I struggle saying, God, what does this mean? But all the studying I've done is talking about, this is a salvation thing. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. You have salvation, and he in God. You have salvation. But I asked last Wednesday, I said, do we have obligations once we receive Christ? And there were different words. I think we have responsibilities. We have this. I agree. It shouldn't just end there. Okay, I'm his. Whew, now I go back to doing what I want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a life that says he's alive in me and I do what he wants. I start looking at him. God, how do you want me to deal with this? God, how do you want me to press on? I love, again, Sunday mornings, Pastor Eric and I, we pray for each other before we preach. And I love Eric's prayer today. He said, God, help us to continue to lead the people in a way that you want. paraphrasing. Help give us direction. Help give us direction on leading this church. And I love that. And I thank God for ministry partners like that, that pray that way. Lord, help us not to do it our way, but your way. And he didn't say that, but he said he asked God for his way to lead the church. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Church People or not. Church People is about this guy, and he wears this rainbow T-shirt and a sport coat over his rainbow T-shirt. And it's all about the glitz and the glamour and doing these crazy gimmicks, they called it. He had a youth pastor that was going around doing rallies. Someone stuck out a beach ball and he threw it back, and then he became known as the beach ball guy or whatever it was. And he's signing beach balls and he got tired of it. He said, I've got to stop. I'm done. That's gimmicks. And they were getting ready for Palm Sunday service and Easter service at their church. And he's trying to think of a gimmick. And he said, I got it. Let's crucify him. Eric, let's crucify you. We're literally going to nail you on a cross and crucify you. Now we have this doctor over here that says, if you do it just right, there shouldn't be permanent nerve damage or muscle damage. And Eric says, I'm out. Cool. Hey, Josh, youth pastor. Man, let's get Josh, the youth pastor, to do it. Josh is a new Christian. He says, yes, I'm in. Oh, my gosh. Help spread the word to millions of people. Yes. And in the end, oh, they had a crucifixion. And they had a cross. And he went up there and he crucified the things that he was hanging on to. And different people in the church came up and they nailed to the cross or hung on the nail the things that they were crucifying in their life. That goes back to the scripture we read before, that we have to crucify the flesh. We have to crucify the flesh. If he lives in us, and that was the point of that movie, Church People, if he lives in us, then it can't be about us. And in the end, the pastor took off his rainbow shirt, T-shirt, much to the crowd's disappointment of seeing him take off his shirt. But he went and he nailed that to the cross. He said, this was me and this was my image. He said, I don't want to live that way anymore. It was too gimmicky. And I just want to spread the word. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God also abides in him. And then Wednesday night we were talking. And I believe it was Linda that reminded us of this in Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. And it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. This was Jesus talking about the inward person. He said, defilement comes from within. These people draw near to me with their mouths. And the reason I went to that was because whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And I thought, we've got to weigh that out. Okay, I've confessed. I have salvation. But everything after that, I don't want it to just be lip service. I don't want to honor God with lips when my heart is far away, when my heart is distant. I don't want to be away from him. When Christ is alive in us. Dale said this in a Wednesday night Bible study. Oh my gosh, he produces fruit. there should be evidence, if Christ is alive in us, of our fruit. He produces fruit and strength to do His will, which then in turn facilitates our spiritual growth. Oh, you hate those challenging times that challenge us to our spiritual growth. Lord, really? Another lesson so that I can grow? I thought I've graduated from lessons, God. Apparently not. But all this, when He's alive in us, helps move us as new creations into being Christ-like, into being His ambassadors, His representative. I don't want to be His ambassador. You signed up for the wrong place then. Okay? Because His Word says you are Christ's ambassadors. Not, if you want to, get in the volunteer line to be Christ's ambassadors. And everyone looks up and says, well, there's no log jam there. You walk right up to the table and sign up to be His ambassador. Oh, we can now be the aroma of Christ. Something that is appealing to others. A young lady at work last Friday said, all right, will you have a good weekend off? I said, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm here. She said, oh, you don't get the weekend off? I said, I work 6 days here. I said, and I'm a pastor at my church, and so I preach also. She said, she's a new lady. And she said, that explains it. I see it. I get it now. I get it. She said, I saw something in you, but I didn't know what it was. It was different than the others. That's what we want. We want people to say, there's something different about you. Oh, you go to church. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, you're His representative. You are His ambassador. What is that? Oh, that's the aroma of Christ. I can't say that without thinking of the stench of sin, you know. My message on the stench of sin. But that's what it is. But we want the aroma of Christ when we go in and through. And I simply ask today, is He alive in you? Examine yourself. I'll examine myself tomorrow. Well, that's a sign you should probably examine yourself today, that you don't want to do it today and face the consequences. Is He alive in you? And if so, is there evidence to people on the outside of that? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word today. God, I thank You. I thank You that You are alive. God, I pray that not only is it You that are alive, but You are alive in us. God, I pray that there's evidence to others that You are alive. God, help us to be light and salt as You live in us in a dark world, to allow our light to so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify You in heaven. Now, today you may think, I don't know. I don't know if He's alive in me. Then we have some work to do, church. You may think, I don't know. I believe, but I don't know. I do have some unbelief. God, help us with our unbelief. God, today I pray that if there's individuals out here that say, God, it's all about me, God, that You would draw them to You. That You would help them to replace their will with Your will. you would help them make space for you in their life. God, I pray today that you stir about your people. God, there may be things that we need to confess. There may be things that we need to do and change and stop doing and start doing. God, I pray today that we look at those things. God, that we allow people to pray over us, to speak over us, to help lead us and guide us into those right steps. God, I pray today that you are alive and well in us, that you may abide in us. In Jesus' name, amen.